I've never been the most technologically advanced person around. So if you turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 17th chapter, we're going to start reading it, the 19th verse. It says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief, for verily I say to you, that if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you." Nothing shall be impossible for you. However, this kind goes out but by prayer and fasting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. God, we just ask you to open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to what you would say to us. Father, that we might be your excellent servants. God, that through our lives, your glory would shine, that you would draw men, women, boys, and girls to your presence, and that your kingdom would be filled. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I've titled my message this morning, "Moving Your Mountain." How many of you have ever faced things in life and you just think they're insurmountable, that it's just impossible for you to do? It's impossible for you to get over. I have. But I'm so glad that God tells me that if I just have just this little bit of faith, just this little faith as big as a mustard seed, that nothing's impossible for me. The problem is, a lot of times we don't see that. Kind of like the speaker, you know, that Arby was telling us about at the men's conference. Yeah, he saw it, but he didn't see it. I mean, that'd be a pretty hard one for me too. I have to admit that. But sometimes we get our focus on the wrong thing. Now, I want to set a little background here. Jesus had sent his disciples out and gave them power. And they went about spreading the good news, the gospel, where the kingdom of God was at hand. And they did all these mighty miracles. They even came back to Jesus and was all excited about all the things that they'd done and stuff like that. But somewhere along the line, this man brought his son to the disciples. And when he brought his son to his disciples, he needed something. His son was a lunatic, the word says. He needed help. But his disciples, for some reason, just couldn't get the job done. You know, I don't know about anybody. When I can't get the job done, it hurts. Amen? Come on now, be real. When I can't get it done, it does not sit well with me. And it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm probably what you call a frustrated perfectionist. Because it never turns out perfect, but I always want it to. Anybody else like that? Well, a few hands. All right. So he brings this son to the disciples, and they couldn't get the job done. So he decides, well, I really need this, so I'm going to take him to Jesus, and Jesus casts out the demon. And the disciples, they're probably just scratching their head going, I don't understand this. I don't understand what's going on here. So they call Jesus aside and say, why? Why? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Now, do you think the disciples actually had belief? I think they did. I just don't think their belief was strong enough. I don't think their faith was strong enough because they were looking at the circumstances. You see, the church has a big problem in our nation today. We're looking at the circumstances around us all the time. We see what's going on in our world and we think, oh my lands, there's nothing we can do about it. And that's hogwash. We can do something about it. Because Jesus said, if we have just a bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, nothing would be impossible for us. Anybody here an us? A you? I'm an us. I'm a you. I'm the one Jesus was talking to. See, I believe that there's nothing we can't accomplish if we just put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the problem is, I start looking at other things. I see the circumstances rather than the chain breaker. I see what is going on rather than the deliverer. I see the things that are stopping me from the thing that propels me to allow Jesus Christ to be the preeminent thing in my life. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I'll get there in a second. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, we quote this a lot, but how many of us actually practice it? All too often, we're looking at the circumstances that surround us and saying, "I can't, I can't, I can't." And Jesus is saying, "You can, you can, you can." But God, you don't understand. This is awful big. Yes, he does. He understands. You see, because what's big for me isn't big for him. If it's too big for God, I'm serving the wrong God. If it's too big for the God that is in my mind and in my heart, I need to get a bigger God, amen? And by getting a bigger God, I mean I need to begin to have faith in his word and what he said. But we walk a lot by sight. I mean, nobody can deny this world is in a world of hurt. Nobody can deny that. But all it takes is the church to begin to become the church of Jesus Christ. The problem is we sit back and we don't say a thing. We don't do anything. We just go, oh, this is terrible. You know, that old adage, you know, they're going to hell in a handbasket and the devil's carrying it. Well, take the handbasket away from the devil and start carrying it the other direction, amen? Get some faith up and build up your faith and start seeing the things of God begin to happen in your life. Amen. Hebrews 12:2 tells us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that started this faith in me. He's going to carry it out to the end. If I can just remember that the circumstances are here and Jesus is here. If I can just remember that Jesus is the one that dictates what the circumstances end up, then I would be able to realize that there is nothing impossible for me. But oh, I want to listen to so-and-so say, you can't do that. I say it all the time. Some of you might have heard me say it. When I was working in the world, they used to tell me all the time, you can't talk about Jesus here. And I used to look at them all the time, and I said, you can't stop me. You can fire me, but you can't stop me. And I never allowed that fear to interfere with me testifying of the goodness of God. I had a church lady one time, met us in Walmart, and she made the comment that, you know, she had this or that. I don't remember all the details. I just laid my hand on her shoulder and I started praying. And her eyes got about this big. It's like, oh no, I made a mistake. Well, no, you didn't. Because the most of the church world wouldn't do that. I agree. What? Woo! Somebody's getting it back there. You know, we listen to the world that says you need to be silent. Oh, it's okay if you do that on Sunday morning in your church service, but don't you dare speak about it out here. Don't you dare speak about it in our schools. Don't you dare speak about it in our government buildings. Don't you dare speak about it where somebody can actually hear it that needs to hear it. So we start looking at the circumstances instead of fixing our eyes on Jesus. And all we see is this mountain in front of us. And the mountain in front of us, Jesus is saying, move it. Get your eyes fixed on me and that mountain's going to go away. We just allow all the fear to get in and stop us. I want to take us to 2 Chronicles. I'm sure most of you are aware of this scripture. You've probably even quoted it. But do you get it in your spirit? 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, says, if my people... Is anybody here one of God's people? Come on, shout it out. I'm one. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Is there anyone in doubt that our land needs healing today? We're in a world of hurt. And we're in a world of hurt because the church has been silent instead of stepping up and saying, no, we're not going to allow this. And hitting their knees and turning to God and say, God, we're in a desperate situation here. Now, I want to give you a little background here. Because God told Solomon, got to get the name right there. God told Solomon this right after dedicating the temple. Israel was in the highest place that it could ever, that it would ever be. The wars had stopped. They'd conquered the land. Everything was going good. And then God gives this warning. And he starts out by saying, if I shut up the rain. Let's back up just a little bit here. We'll start at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among thy people, Then he says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will heal their land. So it was a warning that this is going to happen because the church has a problem about not speaking up. Where was the church in 1964? Where was the church in 1964 when the Supreme Court was deciding whether or not prayer could be in school? Where was the church? Church was pretty much silent. Where's the church today when we face all these social issues around us? We allow the powers that be, whatever they are, to keep us silent. Instead of standing up and proclaiming the Word of God and watching that mountain that's in front of us begin to be removed. Amen. Well, maybe it's because we don't see the miracles. And maybe it's because we don't see the miracles because we're silent. The problem is we don't focus our attention on Jesus, on His Word, and what His Word says. And we allow fear to come in and say, no, you can't. No, you can't. When Jesus is telling us all the time, yes, you can. In fact, not only yes, you can, I need you to. I want you to. I got your back. Nothing's going to stand against you. See, the disciples, when they couldn't cast out the demon, they had the verse written in Isaiah 54. They knew it. No weapon formed against you will prosper. But they didn't believe it. They thought the demon was too strong. They thought that this was just too much, and they gave up. But when Jesus stepped in, you see, when Jesus steps in, those mountains begin to move. Amen. They begin to move, and you know, we're always looking for the big miracle. Well, you know, there was a prophet that was looking for a big miracle once. He was up in the cleft of the rock, and a windstorm came, an earthquake came, and he was looking for God and all that. But that's not where God was. God was in that still, small voice. God wants to speak to you and I today and every day of our life if we will just get our eyes focused on Him and watch those mountains be removed. They may remove slowly. That's okay. He never says it's going to happen instantaneously. Praise God when it does. I like those things. Amen? I like to see those mountains just get up and run away. But when they don't, it's okay. Because I know that God is working on the situation, and that mountain is on its move whether it wants to be or not. In Mark 16, we're familiar with this verse. I want you to listen to this verse carefully because it's very important that we get it. Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, talking about Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, But he that believeth not shall be damned. You understand that hell is real. Heaven is real. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Anybody here believe this morning? Then these signs ought to be following you. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, did you know, anybody in here an English major? Okay, we got a few of them. Any of those words in there, leave it for doubt in there? No. It says these things shall happen. If they're not happening, it's because of me. It's because I don't believe enough. It's because my faith isn't where it needs to be. So what's the answer? I need to begin to pray. I need to begin to seek God. I need to begin to turn from my wicked ways and allow God to begin to bring a healing in my land, to change the circumstances for me. I need to begin to be the church of Jesus Christ. It's getting awful quiet in here. Pastor, maybe I better have you come and stand in front of me. We need to begin to become the church, folks. God, Jesus gave this commission to us for a reason. The early church and the city of Antioch was accused of turning the world upside down. What the people in Antioch didn't realize is they were actually turning the world right side up. And that's what we need to do. We need to turn our world right side up and begin to get our world to follow Jesus Christ so that people will be saved. They'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our circumstances will change all around us. We'll no longer see some of the things happen. But instead, boy, we just stay silent. I want to encourage you this morning. Begin to speak the name of Jesus every place you go. You're going to run into people like me. Before I was saved in my BC days, I didn't want to hear a thing about it. And believe me, the one man especially that led me to the Lord, he knew it. Because I made sure I told him in no uncertain terms. But he didn't allow it to deter him. Until one day Jesus got a hold of my heart and allowed me to see where I was headed. And I watched those chains begin to break. I watched that mountain of sin in front of me begin to move. And I watched myself begin to follow Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what our world is looking for. That's what our world is really. They want the truth. That's why they're trying to tell you, well, you got a truth and I got a truth. No, there's only one truth. Jesus says, I am the truth, the life, and the way. No man comes to the Father but through me. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Share Jesus Christ wherever you are. I don't care if it's in Walmart. I don't care if it's in the workplace. It doesn't matter whether you work in the government or schools or hospitals or whether you're a mechanic somewhere or a farmer somewhere. There's always someone who needs to hear the Word of God. Whether it's a witness, a testimony, or whether it's a healing, whether it's a word of encouragement. But if the church begins to be the church, we will see the mountain that's in front of us begin to move. If we get our eyes focused on Jesus Christ this morning, amen? So if you're here this morning, maybe you're like me. I ain't going to tell you how many years ago. But it was over 40. Maybe you're like me, and you hadn't ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're listening on the internet, in the live stream, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We sang about it a lot this morning. Jesus is good. He is good. I'll say it again. He is good. I just want to give you an opportunity. We're going to have the prayer team come up in a few minutes after I turn it over to the pastor. And if that's you, I just want to invite you. Come down, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or maybe you're here today and there's just this big mountain in front of you. And you don't know how to get past it. We have a prayer team here that knows how to pray. I guarantee you, they know how to pray. And they'll help you get your focus in the right spot so that you can see how Jesus is moving that mountain away and getting our eyes focused on Him. Amen. Pastor, would you come?